This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour, final hour, actually, of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We're going to make fun of Joe Biden some this hour. We'll talk about what's happening at the CDC here to start out, deal with a bunch of emails, just kind of bounce around randomly and aimlessly while pretending like we do a professional show, you know, pretty much like every other night here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Also, don't forget to email us your questions for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So we talked about our institutions many, many, many times. And how ideologically captured they are. Our institutions have been taken over by a bunch of America-hating commies. And let's remember this. If you want to feel better about it, maybe this will make you feel worse. I don't think so. But if you want to feel better about it, they took these things on purpose. And we can take them back on purpose. But they took them on purpose. I told you this story before, but here's a little blast from the past. I always remember this one. It hit me hard. So I know you're going to find this really, really shocking with how professional and sophisticated the show is, but I did not go to Harvard. I know. What, Chris? I didn't go to Harvard or any of the Ivy League schools. They didn't let me in any of those. But I didn't go to Harvard, but I know enough people now who did, and I understand what it's like. I understand the high pressure the kids go through at these elite universities, the mountain of work that is dumped on them at the elite universities. And I also understand from my several conversations with them that you do sit around and you do dream about what you're going to be in life. When you're sitting there at Harvard, let's be honest, your opportunities traditionally have been pretty good. You know, what are you going to do with yourself? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going into law. I'm a doctor. I'm going to do these things, right? So occasionally, especially if it's a Friday, Saturday night, sitting around with some friends and a ball of Jack or something, you would be talking about the future. What are your future plans? What are you going to do? And there was a guy who was at Harvard with Barack Obama when Barack Obama was at Harvard. And they were having one of these little get-together events. Bunch of them sitting around a room. And that's what they were all doing. They were all discussing what they were going to go into, what their future plans were. And it was, honestly, when you heard the guy tell the story, you would laugh. I laughed when he was telling the story because it's everything you could imagine. I'm going to be a doctor. I think I'm going to try to take over the tech sector of this job. I'm going to study. It was every high-end elite thing you could possibly imagine until they got to Barack Obama. Everyone had just gone down the list of the lucrative jobs, millionaire jobs they were going to take when they got out of Harvard. And Barack Obama sat there and told every one of them that he was going to go be a community organizer. And you remember that title from when Obama was running, because that's what he ended up doing. He went to become a community agitator, is essentially what that is. You find various ways to protest and push commie filth on your community. That's what he was. Now, they all mocked him at the time, scoffed at him. What? Community organizer? You kidding me? You're at Harvard. But looking back on it now, Barack Obama is the one who really understood where power was, wasn't he? And that's what Barack Obama was interested in. He was interested in power. Fast forward to a few years later, was Barack Obama showing up at any one of their events? Or were they showing up at Barack Obama's events? Was Barack Obama sitting around stressing about getting a meeting with the new CEO of Best Buy? Or was the new CEO of Best Buy sitting around stressing about getting a meeting with Barack Obama? Barack Obama understood where power really was, and he sought it out. He went and grabbed it. The communist grabs power on purpose. The reason they run your library, The reason they write your kids' textbooks, the reason they're in the CDC is because they're purposeful about where they go and what they control. Now, that is actually good news. It's not bad news. It means these things can be taken back if we focus on them. We have to understand that's how they think, and we have to understand that we can take these things back. But that's why we have the things we have right here. This is not my reporting. I want to give credit where it's due. Wokal Distance is the one who did this. So Wokal Distance. I don't know who that is. I don't know, Chris, but whatever. They did the work. He, she, whoever it is, good work. They did some digging into the Center for Disease Control. Well, the cultural Marxists, the DEI lovers, they have taken over the Center for Disease Control. I'm looking right here at a Center for Disease Control and Prevention headline. And what is it that they're discussing? There's an entire section on health equity to address historical and contemporary injustices. We must change the systems and policies that have resulted in generational injustices, diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility, and belonging. I kid you not, DEIAB, they actually added an AB to it, are a foundational element. These are things. Social justice is another headline. These are things that are not just being taught at Berkeley. These aren't just the things being repeated at the latest pro-Hamas protest on UCLA's campus. These things are being ingrained in every single American institution, and they're being put there on purpose. We have to understand they're being put there on purpose, and we can take them back and fight back against them, but we have to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. You want to know one of the main ways? Speaking of choke points, one of the main ways corporate America was taken over by dirty commies? HR, human resources. Did you know that? It was, and I actually don't know. I've done as much reading on this as I can find. I'm sure someone probably knows the answer to it, but somewhere along the way, the dirty commies in this country figured out that human resources is the money choke point if you want to destroy corporate America. If your company even has a human resources department, your company probably is either leaning left or a full-blown communist organization at this point in time. Why? Well, the communists figured out, hey, we're not CEOs here. We're single white women who hate everything, including ourselves. As a single white woman with no prospects, no dates, just you and your cats, you don't have anything except the communism that you've come to embrace. All you have is the hatred you have of yourself and your country and your company. But you can't get on that CEO board. You can't get on the corporate board because you're a liberal white woman who majored in English. You have no skills whatsoever. But you don't have to get on the board. You have to get in the human resources department. You just need to seize control of who gets hired and who gets fired. You need to seize control of the, quote, essential training your company has to go through. Why do you think you work for this company that was normal 5 minutes ago and you just got an email requiring you to list your pronouns on it and announcing that Friday at noon, instead of knocking off early to go have a couple beers with the team to get to know each other, instead you'll all be meeting down in the conference room to find out how evil white people are. Why did that happen? Because the evil liberal white women took over the human resources departments of this country, and from there, since they seized that choke point, they took over the rest of corporate America. And I can see you nodding your head right now. That's your HR department, isn't it? Oh, I know it is. If you were to actually eliminate HR departments across the United States of America, not only would every company become more profitable, you would watch half the corporate communism in this country disappear overnight. If you could just get the evil liberal white women out of the HR departments. Again, a choke point, and a choke point they sought out on purpose. The America-hating liberal white woman didn't fall backwards into HR. She chose that position because it would give her the power to destroy. And that's what she intends to do now that she's there. All the while feeling like she's a better person. All right? All right. Let's get to some emails because we're going to discuss, well, Marine Corps cuisine and other things. Before we get to those, I should probably remind you about the little tidbit about the money situation. It's bad. The money situation in the country is very, very bad. The Fed came out yesterday and said no rate cuts. And we don't know when there's going to be a rate cut. Why? Because they cannot get control of inflation. And they won't be able to get control of inflation. When you spend and print money like this, you can't. You're doing the opposite of getting control of it. So what do? You prepare. Get some gold in your hands. Get it in your retirement. Or silver. I don't care what it is. Call Oxford Gold Group and let them get it for you. These are wonderful people. They will take care of you. It's where I go. 833-995-GOLD. All right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I don't want to get your hopes up, but you know that Cinco de Mayo is coming up pretty quick on the show.
Buenas tardes.
Are we going to do a show all 3 hours in Spanish? Maybe. Look, maybe. I'll sit here for 3 hours and I'll uno and I'll dos and I'll trace. What, Chris? It would be mucho bueno, por favor, muchacho. And I'm telling you right now, it would be amazing. I don't know that I'll do the whole show in Spanish, but you should know I could. I could if I wanted to. Jesse, we all know military armed forces march on their stomachs. Why wouldn't a good strategy to make sure they're all well fed and rested to do the job they were trained to do? Maybe not Red Lobster or anything like that, but what was your experience with Marine cuisine? Okay, why not make sure they're all well fed and rested? Well, I can only speak for the infantry, that's what I was, but when you're in, you have a job to do. And they want you to be able to sleep, but they're not stressing your sleep. And they can't afford to stress your sleep. There's a mission. They want you to be able to eat. They know you need to eat. But they can't stress that either. And that's really the essence of MREs, meals ready to eat. The older timers, the Vietnam guys who were listening, for them it was C rations. It was rations in a can. It was canned stuff. What, Chris? What? No, they're C rats. K rats are probably a thing too, Chris. I don't know that much about those. But essentially in a can, if you were in Vietnam, your food would come in a can, little cans of peaches, little cans of this, little cans of that. And you could heat the stuff up or not, but it's just the same thing as MREs are. It's just stuff loaded down with preservatives to make sure that it'll stay good, because you don't want it going bad. And it's loaded with calories. It is loaded with calories because they know you need nutrition. But what you don't need is flavor. You don't need quality. They're trying to keep you alive and fed enough to accomplish the mission. As far as my experience with Marine cuisine goes, so I know you're going to find this shocking, but I have an obsession with food. My wife says it's a quote, unhealthy obsession. I don't think that's necessary to throw that in there, but I will tell you, food matters to me a lot. It matters a lot. I'm embarrassed to say that it affects my mood. It does. If I have a wonderful meal, it puts me in a great mood. And if they screw up my meal or whatever, shut up, Chris. If they screw up my meal or something, it puts me in a really bad mood. It does. And I wish it wasn't that way. This is not healthy. So kids, you don't want to be like this. This is not healthy. I can't stress that. But it is how I am. So in the Marines, you know that when you're going out to the field or where you're in combat or whatever it is, you know that you're not going to get great tasting food, because that's not their mission priority. They're not worried about you having something tasty for dinner. They don't give a crap. Nor should they. They don't have time for those things. So you have to learn to do things for yourself. For me, I would make huge grocery store snack runs before we went to the field. And those who came to Israel with us, they saw me eat them. I got hooked on the packages you see in the gas station of the beef and cheese sticks. They were just, it's just meat and cheese. It was just, look, and I realize it's preservative heavy. And I don't send me an email lecturing me on the seed oils or whatever it is you weirdos are obsessing on today. I knew they were delicious. I knew it had protein. I knew it had calories, and I knew I needed something. And so I would throw them in my bag, but I want to clarify that I didn't throw one in. I would throw in two dozen. And I would sit and I would gut down as much of the MRE as I could. And then I would switch over and I'd just be eating my beef and cheese sticks. And it was like I was on the prison yard with a carton of smokes. I could trade those things for anything. Everyone, when they find out you're the one with real food, man, they'll offer up a kidney for a decent meal when you're out there. Look, the food's bad, but I'm not going to sit here and complain about the grunt life because that's what you sign up for. It's not that you sign up wanting to eat bad food, but for me personally, I signed up for the Marines because I have always admired them. I always looked up to them. One of my buddies, Matt, his older brother was a Marine, and Matt went on to be an amazing Marine, not in my unit, but Matt's older brother, Chris, was a Marine. And we used to talk to him about it when I was a kid, and I always admired those guys. And I thought I was a lazy kid, and I was lazy. I didn't have any drive. I wanted to fix that. And I wanted to see if I was tough. And no, I don't think I found out I was tough. But if you want to get tough, there's only one way to get tough, and that's going through tough things. You got to stay up too late and miss out on some sleep. You got to miss out on food. You got to work yourself into the ground till you're practically collapsing. Experience fear and pain and things like that. I wanted that. As much as I obsess on food, I wanted that. Now, it was the worst part of being in the Marines. I know everyone's going to roll their eyes at this, and I'll move on to other emails. I want to get to some other things, NPR and other stuff in the house. But they tried to get me to re-up. They tried to get me to re-enlist when I was in Iraq. They called me down. They wanted me to sign up to be military intelligence because I'd done really well on the ASVAB and whatnot. And I considered it. And my two biggest concerns were they wouldn't promise me this intensive foreign language school that they had, even though now I'm fluent, as everyone knows.
Buenas tardes.
And the food. The worst part is the daggone food. I wanted some better food. What, Chris? It sucked. Anyway, let's discuss NPR and more emails. Let's discuss you and where do you put your money now? I mean, what do you trust? When the big financial institutions have all turned evil. Look, this is BlackRock here.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's...
You want to give your money to those people, or do you think you should invest in things you can touch and feel and things you control? Done for you real estate. It's time for normal people to begin acquiring real estate. No, you're not going to buy a high rise, and you're not going to buy a $10 million mansion, and neither am I. But Done for You Real Estate, they'll find you the house that you can buy in the best market. They'll handle the financing. They'll handle the closing paperwork. They'll handle the rental process. What do? You sit back and watch the checks roll in. You'll start with one. It'll turn into several. It will change your life, man. I'm telling you right now.
We're changing people's lives.
Go to doneforyoujesse.com and change your life. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because Poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I've got some bad news. I've got some good news. I've got all kinds of things. Okay, first of all, the bad news. Might as well get the bad news out of the way first. Here it is. Consumer confidence drops to a 21-month low over worries about food and gas prices. The American people, they haven't felt this bad about food prices and gas prices in 2 years. You remember all the things we've been playing for you recently? Middle class people now showing up at food banks. People having discussions with their friends. Hey, what do we do? Hey, do you have enough meals? Hey, I think I'll just eat twice today because I can't afford to eat three times. So that's really, really bad. Another one, job openings slipped to a three-year low. That's really bad. Okay, so it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. But I promise there was good news as well. The bad news is people are suffering. They're watching their way of life disappear. And the country's being wrecked. But all is not lost. The GOP is there. Fighting for
Hi, everyone. The anti-Semitism on full display at college campuses is absolutely abhorrent. As a former journalist, I believe in protecting free speech, but I do not believe in protecting hate speech. Calling for the genocide of Jews is hate speech, plain and simple. And I can't fathom why some of these university leaders are so spineless in their refusal.
They're all over it. I mean, did you hear this from this farmer? I mean, meat prices are backbreaking. I was I smoked some chicken the other day, and someone had asked me why I didn't smoke a prime rib. Prime rib was $15 a pound when I went in there. That's why I didn't smoke some frigging prime rib. Have you seen the meat prices lately? That's why I didn't smoke any prime rib. Did you hear what this farmer said?
So we're all about to pay a lot higher price for beef, chicken, pork, meat, period. And let me tell you why. There's a four-letter government entity. They have come down with a rule, and they are taking away our abilities as farmers, ranchers, homesteaders to take care of our livestock. What they have done last year was they took away LA 200. Well, this year they are taking away all over-the-counter antibiotics and dewormer, whether it be oral, splash-on, the pills. They are taking those away from us and making us bring in veterinary care in order to monitor and administer those. That is going to make our overhead as homesteaders, farmers, ranchers extremely high.
So in case you couldn't hear that or understand it, the USDA, they're now forcing all these guys to bring in vets. Instead of just giving them the antibiotics they need to bring in veterinarians. So the meat prices that have gone up are about to go up even more, to the point where you can't afford meat. But again, all's not lost. The GOP is on it.
Hi, everyone. The anti-Semitism on full display at college campuses is absolutely abhorrent. As a former journalist, I believe in protecting free speech, but I do not believe in protecting hate speech.
That'll get your meat prices down. You know, along those same lines, I played for you a little bit last segment, but I want to make sure you get the full dose of it. BlackRock's CEO Larry Fink, you know BlackRock's the evil corporation out there. Their CEO Larry Fink, he controls so many American businesses, and he's out there saying things like this.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in. shrinking unemployment, excuse me, shrinking demographics, these countries will rapidly develop robotics and tech and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries and the standard.
You see, it's a good thing that the human race is disappearing because guys like Larry Fink have invested mass quantities of money into AI, and in the end, they'll be able to have more money and power after the human race is wiped out. But again, that's the bad news. The good news is the GOP is there fighting.
Well, hi, everyone. The anti-Semitism on full display at college campuses is absolutely abhorrent. As a former journalist.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, the GOP that's also going to defund NPR. Because I saw this and I guess I was confused. The House Energy and Commerce Committee, they're actually summoning the head of NPR before Congress. Why? Well, she's a nutball. And NPR is an evil organization, funded, of course, in part by you, the taxpayer. But what I don't understand is why the Republicans are mad about this, because surely we're not funding NPR anymore. I was told over and over and over again. I mean, my gosh, for years I've been told that we were going to defund NPR. Chris, I didn't imagine that, right? I did. The GOP did tell me they were going to defund it. Huh. And they have had control of every branch of the government since that time, but it never got defunded. That is weird. Jesse, since you know so much about food, that's true, I do, I need you to settle an argument between my wife and me. Is chili supposed to have beans or not? It's from Jared. Jared, nothing should have beans, ever. I certainly would be the last one on earth to question the good Lord's creation. Father, I'm not questioning you, but I believe, just in my heart, that beans were a trick he played on humanity to see who would take this disgusting, vile, mushy filth and eat it. And I have always believed, I believe it now, and I'll believe it for the rest of my days, that, you know, God's all-seeing. He's omnipotent. He sees everything. I think he laughs at you whenever you eat beans. I think he sits up there probably with the angels and stuff, and he's like, oh my gosh, look, hey, we got another one. Look at this idiot. Look, they're eating beans. My parents used to make me eat lima beans when I was a kid, and I hated them so much that I would throw them up on the plate, and they'd still make me sit there. What, Chris? What? What about refried beans? See, again, this is not an argument in defense of beans. Yes, if I take beans and I fry them down, let me put about 20 pounds of grease in it, add some other ingredients in there, and do everything I can possibly do to make sure the beans no longer represent beans and no longer taste like beans, that yes, refried beans are delicious. And I admit they are. I'll eat refried beans all day long. That's not a defense of beans. It's like these people with Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts people do this all the time. Oh, you got to try the Brussels sprouts. You got to try the Brussels sprouts. My wife makes Brussels sprouts for herself, and she makes the boys eat it, and the house smells like someone died in it 10 years ago. That's what it smells like. But Brussels sprouts people, what do? They all do the exact same thing. Oh, you got to try mine. No, I don't like Brussels sprouts. You'd love mine. I put bacon in it. Yeah, bacon's delicious. Taking something delicious and adding it to the vile, disgusting garbage you call food, which is Brussels sprouts, that's not a defense of Brussels sprouts. I don't have to add bacon to my ice cream. Why? Because the ice cream was good before I added bacon. That's why. You want some more heady, important stuff like this? There's more of it coming. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow to do it one more time this week. I was thinking to myself, I really want to testify in front of Congress. I don't have like something specific I want to talk about. I just want to testify in front of Congress. What, Chris? The sombrero? Yes, I would wear the sombrero. We all know I would wear the sombrero. In fact, I would have a poncho and a sombrero on. I'd probably drop some Spanish on them right there. Just blow them away. And I don't know why I have this desire to do so, but Carol Roth, you know, Carol Roth comes on the show all the time, our economist friend, always talking about dollars and cents. And she was testifying in front of some congressional committee about small business and whatnot.
Good morning. I'm Carol Roth, a small business expert and a small business owner myself. On behalf of small businesses across the United States, I'm asking that you are by.
Yeah, she goes on to say a bunch of smart stuff, but that's not important. I was focusing on me. I feel like I would really dominate speaking in front of Congress. What, Chris? I would know. I would say, I hold you in contempt. Like, I would say all kinds of stuff like that. I would be witty. I feel like I would abuse the communists up there to the point that I could drive them crazy, especially if I got one of the really, really dumb ones, like a Jasmine Crockett type or a Rashida Tlaib type. They would be so much fun. Or if you could get on there with maybe Nancy Pelosi, how hilarious would it be to make Grandma Vodka upset? You probably couldn't make Grandma Vodka upset. She's a seasoned old dog. After all, what she puts up with the old Papa Paul at home has got to be a lot. So she's used to, you know, getting hammered. But you understand what I'm saying. I want to testify in front of Congress. And I would think with all the senators and House members who are always bothering us and reaching out to the show, hey, can I come on and talk about all the crap I'm acting like I'm doing? I think that's something we should be able to make happen, don't you guys? Why are you shaking your head, Chris? Why? I don't understand. What would I testify about? Why do you worry about little details, Chris? I don't know exactly what it would be on anything. Really, I don't care. I'll talk about whatever. I don't have to be knowledgeable. Look, if there's one thing the government has shown us, you don't actually have to know anything about anything. You just have to pretend like you know about stuff. If this guy can be president, I can testify in front of Congress.
There's no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American.
You know what? We're going to make this happen. I don't know where. I don't know when. Jesse's going to testify in front of Congress. I'm going to find a way, and I'll have to go to D.C., and I'll feel so important. I'll hand out my business cards. You know, the ones we had made that only have my name and face on it and no contact information? Congressman, I'm glad you're here today. Reach out to me if you'd like to talk about this. And he'll reach in his pocket later and pull it out, and it's just my face. Biden and Trump debates are planned for after the voting has already begun. Well, yes. Biden, look, Biden and his team, they're in a situation. Biden can't think or talk. That's a problem when you're a politician. Trump can. Trump thinks on his feet very well. Trump is still, given his age, I mean, given anything, his energy level is still high. Compared to Biden, it's bad. And a debate is going to look bad, and it's going to be bad for Biden. So here's what's coming, and you know it's what's coming. You've already seen it before. There's going to be one debate. They're going to have one debate. He can't possibly get out of doing any debates. I initially thought that's what he was going to attempt. But when you get down in the polls the way Joe Biden is currently down in the polls, then it forces you to do things you didn't otherwise want to do. When you're winning, you can get away with a lot. Remember Trump during the primary wouldn't debate anybody? He'd never debate DeSantis. He'd never show up to any of the debates. Well, everyone whined and yelled about that, but what did we say on the show? Well, when you're winning, you can do that. You can yell and whine and complain all you want. When you're winning, you don't have to. When you're losing, though, you have to. So he has to. But they're going to push this debate as far back as humanly possible to ensure they can bank as many votes as humanly possible before everyone gets up and sees Joe Biden embarrass himself on national television once again. It's going to be a fascinating presidential election year, I'll tell you that much.
And now,
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
headlines we didn't get to.
Don't forget, by the way, to get your questions emailed in tomorrow. Anyone, email them right now. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. IRS says it will need some more money soon. Oh, good. Because last I remember, you guys basically took all of mine. United Methodists repeal a ban on LGBTQ clergy. So things are pretty much as Methodist as they've ever been in, over there in the Methodist Church. Brittany Griner reveals suicidal thoughts after Russian arrest, and she was forced to write a letter to Putin. Yes, and it is a depressing thing to leave a Russian prison only to find the obscurity of the WNBA. Poll. Results shifting percentage of voters admit to illegal 2020 voting. Well, of course, there was all kinds of illegal 2020 voting. We'll never get an answer on exactly how much. Let's hope we have some systems in place to prevent them from doing that again. Alleged ISIS member. Is it alleged or alleged? Alleged ISIS member was released into the U.S. by the Biden administration. He lived legally for 2 years here. That's from the Daily Wire. Man, oh man. We are just gearing up for something bad around here, aren't we? The feds keep rates unchanged, noting progress on inflation has stalled. When were we making progress on inflation? I must have missed the quote progress on inflation. I know we went from double digit inflation to, oh, just 4 or 5% inflation. That's not progress. I'm still getting poorer by every day. How is that progress? Biden pushes more gun control after 4 officers are killed in North Carolina. Of course he does. Never let a crisis go to waste. Kansas ban on child transgender medicalization fails to beat veto after 2 GOP lawmakers flip votes. Red state GOPs, the death of all of us. Remember, that primary you're ignoring is more important than the general election you care about, all right? Email us your questions. We'll do it tomorrow. That's all.